This week, we take the temperature of the global press supply chain business. We head to the Eternal City to join the denizens of distribution at the 63rd annual DistroPress Congress. We're off to Rome today on The Stack. From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis with me, Tom Edwards. DistroPress was founded back in the 50s as a non-profit trade association focused on supporting and promoting the global circulation and distribution of the press, originally in print and latterly also in digital formats. Members are publishers, printers, wholesalers, distributors, retailers and others, all engaged in the end-to-end press supply chain. DistroPress's global community meets once a year at the annual Congress event, and this year's edition took place in the past week in Rome. Not only was Monocle's editor-in-chief, Tyler Boulay, amongst the speakers, but our correspondent in the city, David Pleasant, was in attendance too. And I'm delighted to say that David joins us now on the line to bring us a special report on DistroPress. David, great to speak with you, of course, and to reflect, I suppose, first of all, just on, I like to gauge really the temperature of these things, the mood at an event like this. Tell us how you found the DistroPress event this year. What was the general kind of mood? What was the vibe there?
Well, Tom, I would say that the general mood is a kind of feeling of newfound determination. I wouldn't exactly call it buoyant. We're still talking about decline and so on, but long gone are the days when we're talking about the death of print. That was probably the conversation about 5 years ago. But ever since, I think the industry or industries of distribution and publishing, to quite different industries, really, I think the mood is about not managed decline, but focusing on solutions and opportunities and practical ways of getting through the landscape rather than just kind of bewildered, sad stories of closures and mergers and job losses. There's a definite feeling of determination.
Well, and I guess, David, we'll hear from some of the people that you met with a little later who will be picking up on exactly that theme. It strikes me as interesting, though, there. You mentioned this idea of the distribution side and the publishing side. And I guess that's the two big subcategories, really, of people who are present at an event like DistroPress. Tell us a bit about how those two different groups of people kind of operate and sort of butt up against each other, because I guess there's different priorities, there's different strategies from those two camps.
Yeah, and I think that's the crux of the matter, really. It's how those two sectors communicate and sort out how they do business and how they sell print. So just kind of on a practical level, there are two main blocks, as you've pointed out, distributors and publishers. And this is probably, it is the only occasion that a lot of people meet each other face to face. So there's a lot of pressure and anticipation put on this event. It's quite high octane, I'd say. There's even a hall in the venue in Rome where the business meetings happen. It's really kind of tense atmosphere. It feels a bit like speed dating. So there's a bell sounded every half an hour and people rotate around. And these meetings are actually set up months in advance, but the people really pack them in the 3 days. So these half an hour meetings will go on from about 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. So that just gives you an indication of the dealings and the business that is done here at DistroPress. And I think there's a big value to that face-to-face interaction rather than just being someone on the end of an email or a kind of faceless person on an email signature. If you're in Belgium speaking to someone in Japan or so on, I think the face-to-face value is really important, and you feel that here.
Well, and that's certainly a house value, I guess, if you like, of us here at Monocle. And as if to demonstrate the point, you were not alone there, David. Our own Tyler Boulay, of course, Monocle's editor-in-chief and chairman, was also at DistroPress this year. Tell us a bit about what he was up to. I gather you, of course, caught up with him while he was in Rome.
Yep, we'll hear from Tyler himself a little bit later in the show. Slightly jovial surroundings of a lovely terrace, roof terrace, where Monocle hosted their evening soiree. Tyler was actually presenting in the opening forum of DistroPress, a very upbeat, a very Monocle-style presentation, as we would expect, but very concise and practical, I would say. Obviously, not just blowing our own trumpet, but people really were quite impressed with what Monocle had to say. And I think it's really quite interesting how the monocle publishing model, as it were, has been kind of doing what the rest of the industry is now talking about. I feel like Monocle, dare I say it, has been doing that for a number of years now, whereby having those conversations with distributors, adapting the retail offering very much in line with what the published offering is. That is what Tyler had to say, and that was the crux of his presentation. Really wowed several hundred people present in the Congress Hall. So we'll find out a little bit more about that later in the show, as I say.
Yeah, we'll look forward to hearing from Tyler in a moment. But just on that point, you mentioned the R word there, David, retail. And I know that amongst our various other highlights, various other trends that are up for discussion, there is always that retail element. What were some of the most compelling things or biggest challenges that people talked to you about in that retail space?
It is always a really challenging landscape. Retail generally across all sectors, all products as it were, but especially in the published world. Newspapers and magazines are notoriously tricky to get off the shelves, especially now with the rise and establishment of digital media. There was a lot of talk of technology, of what the playing field is from London-based consultancies, quite sort of AI-driven, sort of almost sci-fi type realizations of what might the future look like in terms of the retail landscape. Two more practical, more hands-on, more sort of case study scenarios from a Belgian retailer and distributor, in fact, UbiWay, who's the retail chain of the Bpost, the Belgian Post service. So there was a range of different products and different techniques out there, and also sort of a prediction as to what the retail landscape might look like.
So, David, let's move on and hear from some of the people that you spoke to around DistroPress. You were a busy man. You were sort of moving all points, north and south, east and west, to catch up with interesting voices. Who should we hear from, first of all? Maybe somebody with a bit of an Italian focus, given we're in Rome.
Yeah, Fabrizio Carotti is the managing director of FIEG, the Italian Federation of Editors. He, as you say, had a very local perspective, but I think some of the trends that he pointed out are relevant across a lot of Western markets, at least in Western Europe and North America, certainly.
I think that the Italian is market particularly because we have a reduction, like the other country, of readers and also of the sellers. But our problem principle is to manage with the OTT, over the top, because they use our contents and they don't pay this. So the directive in Europe, in Strasbourg, is our idea to manage the future. And the second one is the importance of the kiosk.
And the kiosk, and this is a particularly Italian thing, and Monocle is always fascinated with the kiosk and the edicola. But that really affects the way distributors, publishers work in this country. Maybe give us a little overview of how that edicola model maybe affects your everyday.
Yes, it's very particular because it's on the street. No, this is the first problem that we have. Now the investment of the infrastructure of the kiosk is reduced and they are not so beautiful like yours. It's a different player. So we are there. A moment of reunion of people that love press. This is the idea, because we are a group of people that we love press, we love physical contact with the news, we want to have affidable news, trust itself. It's one of the words that I want to say in my speech, because the link between the editors and the public is very, very important, and the trust is the one. We have rules, many rules that are in our activity and on the other's activity. So we have to relink our readers with our brand.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 2 years ago, there was a real low point. This decline was really speeding up. It seemed to be getting much worse. But then from some of your slides and graphs, it looks like 2017-18, maybe it's not so bad.
Yes, I think the same. This is our level now, with different competitors, with the other platform. It's important to also to understand that for young people, the needs are different now.
Yeah, and this is another thing that you picked up, the big fear, really, for your industry, is the young people not buying newspapers or print in any way, any shape or form.
No, but why the publishers have to choose different way, because, for example, video, For example, radio. Now we have in Italy the radio are very increased, the number of people that are, because we have in movement, because we have in the car, in Rome especially, we stay 2 hours
over. We're stuck in a car, so yes, it's important to what you listen to.
Yes, the radio and the podcast from publishers. So the idea is, if you have good news, you have to choose the platform independent on your target. This is our idea.
That was Fabrizio there, David. Let's move on and hear from another of the interesting voices you caught up with. Really interesting themes I know you addressed in a chat you had with Jim Bilton. Tell us a bit more about him.
Yeah, Jim, as it's fifth year running now, he produces a monitor, the DistriPress Circulation Monitor. Interesting kind of industry trends. Maybe the most pertinent thing he had to say was really about the dichotomy between convergence and fragmentation. And I'll let him explain that. It sounds very technical, but it actually sort of makes sense within the context of what's happening in the distribution industry.
The convergence, which is the theme of that, is that the drivers of the whole industry are becoming increasingly common and increasingly consistent around the world, driven mainly by technology. So technology has no borders. So whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it is voice-activated assistance, the consumer end, there is a lot of similarity from market to market to market. What is different and where the fragmentation comes in is the solutions, so the outputs from all this, that different countries and different individual companies within each country are finding different business models in order to deal with a rapid, increasingly accelerating rate of change.
You mentioned the kind of the situation over the last 2 years, let's say. So interestingly, the graphs and charts that you showed us sort of had a considerable dip that it seems like we're coming out of across sales, distribution, and so on. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that? Do you feel we are right to feel a little bit positive as an industry, as publishers, as distributors, about the year ahead?
Yes, I think part of it is subjective, that I think as an industry we are getting more used to change.
So that reflects how people answer the question.
Exactly. So they're feeling more positive because they've got used to the context and said, well, things are never going to be the same again. We're never going to get back to where we were before. So therefore, let's look forward to doing different things. We have skills, we have knowledge, we still have a great product, and print is still very important. It's declining in the overall package, particularly in magazines. I think print has a very long-term future, but more niche, premium product, and it's trying to work out the new business models that make that work. But I think there's a lot more positivity about the future than there was even a year ago.
And it's interesting, and another thing that I picked up in your presentation was the impact of the kind of global, also political scene, and sort of the rise of other factors. So you featured US President Trump quite a lot, but that's somehow quite interesting in terms of, is it coincidence that there's more confidence within the industry and then that's happening at the same time? Do you think there's a sort of...
I think that the whole fake news issue, it goes in two different directions. I think that when Trump talks about fake news, his comments actually resonate with quite a large proportion of the general public. But at the same time, there are those who go in the other direction and say, well, what checks and balances are there on the politicians? And it's got to be an independent media body. And I think there's also a growing recognition that journalism costs.
That was Jim Bilton there, the author of the DistriPress Circulation Monitor report. And I imagine there were some trends from the sorts of stuff that we've been hearing about from both Fabrizio and Jim that emerged when you caught up with the president and CEO of FIP, the Global Trade Association for the magazine industry. That's James Hughes, of course. We spoke a little earlier in the programme, didn't we, about fake news, fakery, the veracity of media and where it comes from. And I imagine that was front and centre when you spoke with James.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to sort of evaluating or valuing print, I think this is a key component of the argument. And that's what's become even kind of stronger in the last year or two, particularly with the rise of populism and attacks on the media. And interestingly, I think James highlighted the attacks or criticism of advertising, and fake advertising is quite an interesting concept with fraud and so on in terms of digital advertising sales. So print being a kind of safeguard or a stamp of a seal of approval in that respect as well. So I think that was what was particularly interesting of what James Hughes had to say.
The importance of having trusted, high-quality content has never been greater. And magazines have always been good at that. When you take the time and money and effort to print something physically and to distribute it in large volume, there is then an implicit assumption on the reader's part that that has trust and that has quality. That's something we've built on over the years. It's something we need to reinforce more. It's interesting, if you look at the Google search history for the term fake news, that term basically only exists in Google search history around the time of the last US presidential election. There is a hope that come the next presidential election it may disappear again. So we have to be careful that it's not a temporary phenomenon. On the other side of the coin, there is also, and this doesn't get as much attention, but it's probably in financial terms a greater problem around advertising, where there is a huge amount of fraud in the digital advertising market. And again, print has that role as the trusted brand, the trusted medium for advertisers, where they know, because they can see it physically, that the ad they've bought exists. In the digital space, half the time they cannot. Half of those ads are in some way not getting to the person they want to get to. So I think if you look at both of those aspects of the kind of fakery of the world today, then print is having a kind of emerging role as the trusted medium of choice for a lot of people. We're starting to see that come back in terms of advertising. I'm hoping that we'll start to see it come back in terms of circulation. But it's going to be a really interesting phenomenon to see how that plays out over the next few months and years.
James Hughes there, President and CEO of FIP. Now, David, we always like to catch up with some familiar voices on our programme. And the President of DistroPress, Karine Nevaillant, is someone that you tracked down this year in Rome, of course. What did Karine have to say?
I had to hound her. She was very busy doing her lobbying and campaigning work. She was very buoyant and spoke very positively about this year. I think you'll detect that from what she has to say.
We have a big congress in Rome, gathering more than 500 delegates, so there is a big attendance. And as well, I'm quite pleased to say that the delegates are very involved into not only business meetings, but as well coming to the forum, hearing different strategies from distributors, as well as publishers. We had Monocle, Tyler Brulé, explaining his worldwide strategy for Monocle, which was quite interesting. And here at this forum, as well, retailers, and as well, Reporters Sans Frontières, so very diverse meetings. And here at this forum on Monday morning, we had an attendance of more than 300 people. We had to add chairs because people wanted to attend that. This morning as well, we had inaugurated a symposium on diversification, which attracted more 50 persons coming all around the world with testimonials of how distributors are tackling with this diversification, which is so important nowadays.
And maybe this year, if we can compare, you've got a fantastic perspective. This is your fourth DistroPress as president. If we can compare maybe this year to last year, can you make any observations in terms of the mood, how the industry is feeling, perhaps, if you can kind of gauge that temperature?
Yes, you're right. Well, I would say that the pressure on the market and on our whole business chain is always there. So the pressure on revenue, the cost which we have to downsize, the retail network which is suffering, is still here. But what is very interesting is that people are really finding solutions. Restructuring, of course, downsizing, of course, merging, of course, but as well diversifying with new products. I heard this morning a company selling that blind packs were really selling very well in Italy and in different markets.
Blind packs?
Yes, so, yes. So you have packs with a kind of toys inside, and this is selling quite well, which is traditional products, and as well there is a comeback to books distribution. On a restructuring market, traditional products might be as well good ways. Of course, as well, changing way of working, journalists. we have testimonials saying that journalists not only write, but as well podcast, they take photos. So there is a new way of working in all the supply chain.
Carrie Nevillon there, president of DistroPress, back on the stack once again, David. And as you mentioned at the beginning there, an upbeat take, lots of positivity, lots of optimism. And I can only assume, David, a similarly upbeat and optimistic view was articulated by our own Tyler Brûlé.
That's right. A kind of different take from Tyler. I think a lot of people came out of Tyler's presentation really remarking on how, in what a kind of different way Tyler likes to see the whole industry, and the sort of tricks of the trade that Monocle's been doing for a while were very clearly expressed. But I think Tyler really lay down the gauntlet in some way. He said that sadly, we are losing the capacity to identify ourselves intellectually. That was one of his key slides that showed a group of about 20 people sitting in a circle. And this is something that we can see at just about any airport, office, anywhere really in the world nowadays, all sitting in a circle, all glued to their smartphones. So he really laid down the gauntlet of how we can sort of penetrate those markets and those people, and how print and publishing really has an opportunity to give them an offer, whether that's in a retail capacity or in terms of publishing and good journalism.
One of the things that I've noticed is the ongoing collapse of the space that's devoted to magazines and newspapers. And the point I was trying to get across to the audience today is that it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you've decided that you're going to sell less newspapers, less magazines, and not challenge the market, then that's what's going to happen. And if you devote more space to selling Diet Coke, well, then you're going to sell more Diet Cokes.
I think Fanta is the one that you...
Yes, I was using Fanta.
It was Fanta and then inflatable emojis, which really typifies the travel retail scene so well.
Yes, and neck pillows. My yeah. pet hate. Yeah.
So those three items, yeah, Fanta...
Fanta, neck pillows, and inflatable emojis. And that has actually become the kiosk experience. So I was challenging the audience to say, look, if you've become a gift shop, then be a gift shop. But if you are a familiar brand, even potentially a loved brand that I've grown up with, and I expect that I might find a bestseller, or I'm going to find one of my favorite newspapers, and I'm going to find favorite magazines, but not just favorite magazines, you're going to challenge me as a consumer. This is the intellectual bit, that I'm going to discover new things. I was laying down the gauntlet to say that, going back to your people sitting in a circle who are all staring down at their phones, they're all the same. There was nothing about any of those people in the picture that I showed that defined them intellectually. They were all staring at either a Samsung phone or a Huawei phone or their iPhone, but I don't know what they're consuming. None of those individuals, I have any sense of, are they reading a daily newspaper? Are they doing some kind of puzzle? Are they researching knitting patterns? Are they reading L'Espresso? I have no idea. And I think this is where, as you said, it's a bit of a challenge. I'm sort of saying, I have no way of, no entry point intellectually to these people, nothing. Because they're all either wearing Adidas or Nike trainers. They're all wearing a very handsome bit of denim. They all have the same jacket. They've got the same haircuts. But where is that entry point intellectually? And that's what we've lost, because once upon a time, you could get into it, you could jump onto a train carriage, you could see someone whizzing past in a taxi, you could be on a plane, and I would say, okay, there's a Newsweek reader who is very different from a reader of Time magazine. There was someone reading The Economist, or there was someone reading from Der Spiegel. And I think also something exciting about it, David, that I can remember many occasions thinking, oh, there's a really busy lounge, but, oh, actually, someone's reading Die Zeit. I'm just going to go and sit beside her or him or whatever, and because I think they're kind of probably more interesting, and maybe they're on my level and I might talk to them, or who knows what might happen. And I think that's sadly evaporated.
You kind of like threw down a gauntlet in some ways, because it's a very kind of high-minded intellectual proposition that you kind of put out there, certainly in terms of marketing, branding. You really kind of opened it out. How do you think practically, because I think I've certainly been to one distro
press previously, 4 years ago, and there was a lot of head scratching going on back then. There seems to still be a lot of head scratching. It seems to be a kind of a perennial thing that happens. Do you think that needs to stop and there needs to be a bit more action? What would you kind of say the industry, and it's quite a diverse industry, it's not really one industry, it's several industries. What does the publishing distribution world need to be doing rather than head scratching?
Well, I could say people are scratching something else other than their head. And I think that as much as we heard a rallying cry that everyone needs to get into a conversation. This is the thing. Everyone's in the room. Everyone's on this terrace this evening. I can see distributors, retailers, everything. But people need to realize there is a bit of a crisis right now. Or maybe it's not just a bit of a crisis. It's a major crisis. And everyone needs to get joined up. Everyone needs to think together and say, how do we get print to newsstand faster? How are we going to improve the retail experience? Because here's the key thing. If it's a dreadful shopping experience, why would I go in? And one of the other things I was talking about is, so I think probably for most premium publishers, of which we're one, travel retail, train stations, airports are incredibly important for us. And in many ways, it's sort of our bread and butter when it comes to distribution and getting in front of, and finding new readers, indulging existing readers. And yet, one of the slides I was showing is, you know, how beautiful a Gucci store looks, a Bottega shop, a Louis Vuitton shop, an Hermes store. An elevated experience. And then right beside many of these shops in many airports, you have your global chain kiosk.
And it's back to the Fanta and the...
Yeah, we're in Fanta and we're in, like, chill drinks territory. And I'm wondering why I'm there, and I'm wondering why it's overlit when the shop next door is really beautiful, and I don't have a tan, but somehow I do look tanned, and I feel really good in this environment. And then I go into this overlit space where everything is self-checkout, everyone's grumpy, and only there's one person working there who's not really interested. And then we're wondering, why do people not want to be here? Well, it's pretty obvious, because you're serving up an uninspiring space, which should be an area of intellectual indulgence, and you just want to run the other direction.
There we go, Monocle's own Tyler Brulé. David, it sounded like you were standing in the way of a man with a mission to get to the bar area there. I hope you cleared the decks and let him get to what he needed.
Yes, I did. He was, as ever, much in demand. It was a great event and actually a very productive congress this time round.
Let's sort of wrap up then, David, and you've shared obviously a number of the interesting people that you've met and some of your thoughts already. What's the takeaway here? Because we started off by talking about the mood being upbeat despite being pragmatic or realistic about some of the challenges out there. I sense from all of what we've heard so far that this idea of the dominance of digital over print is not subsiding, but there's a sense that that's now a concept, at least, that people are familiar with, and there's a greater confidence about how to address or redress that balance going forward. Is that a fair summary?
Definitely. And I think another thing everybody picked up on this year, and even if we compare it, and this is reflected in figures, and as we heard various people say, there's a bit of an uptrend. And maybe that's no coincidence that the kind of political situation, rise of populism, the attacks on the media, fake news and so on, has sort of added another dimension to distribution and publishing and journalism. And I think that's a sort of extra impetus that perhaps is really changing the dynamic. And I think that was sensed here.
Well, thanks for bringing us your impressions of DistroPress, David. Reporting from Rome, of course, you'll be as Monocle's correspondent in the city. And thanks to Tyler Brulé for his appearance. Thanks to our producer, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. And as always, to our editors, Cassie Galpin and George McDonough. This is The Stack. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks for listening.